Let's continue study the book of Colossians. The first two chapters focus on theological study. You're talking about the preeminence of Christ. And the second two chapters is talking about the practical Christian life. In Pauline letter, we always find out, first he talk about theology, and then the second he talk about the practical life. Because the transformation of the practical life is based on our commitment to the theology, our commitment to our belief. Even we have practical change of life, but if our commitment to our belief changed, then everything becomes meaningless, right? You become a very good person, very humble, but I don't believe in TJC anymore. You are very loving, very caring, very humble, but I turn out to become a Buddhist, then it's what use for. So our changing of life should based on our commitment to a set of theology. And this set of theology is based on the truth, which settle in heaven to forever. So this is equally important. So in the church, we cannot emphasize on every sermon you talk about life application, right? Yes, it's important. But if you look into Pauline data, right? Romans, the first 11 chapter, talk about theology. How did God love us? Justification by faith. And the second 6 chapter is talk about transformation of life. Almost every Pauline letter is the same. Ephesians, the same. The first 3 chapter, theology. The second 3 chapter, the practical life. The same with Colossians. Of course, if we only emphasize on theology, we talk about a lot of theory and doesn't mention about how to change our life, then we go into another extreme. So it should be balanced because there is a core relationship between two of them. Now, yesterday we mentioned chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. If we want to do our spiritual cultivation, then what should we do first? That is mentioned in chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. The first verse 1 to 4 actually talk about two things. The first thing is verse 2, set your mind on the things above. And the second step is seek the things which are above. Okay. So what does verse 1 and verse 4 is talking about? Verse 1 and verse 2, verse 4, talking about two set of value. You know, even a person never think about the term of value because the term of value is more contemporary. But you look into the way they live their life. The way they live their life represents certain type of value. And in the Bible, there are two set of value. What are the two set of value? We are living under two set of value. Can anybody give an answer? What are the two set of value? After I read, we read one verse, then you try to answer. Second Corinthians chapter four. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So you see, what is the things which are seen? The thing which are seen means everything tangible in the world. All right? the diploma you have, the job you have, the income you have, the bank account you have, the house you have, the car you have, right? The beauty you have, everything you can see by your eye. Oh, that is the things you've seen. But at the things which are not seen, what does that mean, the things which are not seen? First, your soul, you cannot see it. The second, God, you cannot see it. The third, heaven, you cannot see it. The fourth, the invisible richness and glory in heaven, you cannot see it. Oh. So from verse 18, we can see that we are living under two sets of value. One is tangible in the world. Another is intangible, which is in the spiritual realm. Oh. And then we make comparison about these two sets of value. Oh. Next one. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the second part of the verse talk about when we compare these two sets of value, then you are going to see the first set of value is only temporary. Temporary means it will disappear. You cannot hold it forever. But the second set of value are eternal. Eternal means when you hold it, you can have it after you die. When you hold it, you can have it eternally. Oh. So this is from the timing. Oh. One is temporary, one is eternally. Oh. Now, we look into the comparison in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is about for a moment, is working for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, Paul was a very well-educated person. He was able to use the most beautiful term to describe the contrast between the worldly value and the eternal value, right? The first one is what? Light affliction, but for a moment. Light affliction. To you, what is a light affliction? Light affliction. Mosquito bite, is that considered light affliction? Huh? Yes or no? Mosquito bite, light affliction. Huh? You come here, right? You stay home, you have mattress. You come here, you sleep on the ground. Is that considered affliction? Suffering? No. You like it? You like it, you are welcome to live longer. Right? Right? So when Paul said light affliction actually is a comparison. Comparison about what? For more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Actually, when Paul talk about light affliction, if you read the 2 Corinthians, Paul talk about the suffering he has gone through. Let's turn to the 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Paul consider light affliction. How about you? Do you consider this light affliction? Chapter 11, right? Verse 23. Are they minister of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often. Verse 24. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Verse 26. In a journey often, in peril of water, imperials of robbers, imperials of my own countrymen, imperials of Gentile, imperials in the city, imperial in the wilderness, imperials in the sea, and imperial among the false brethren. Look, if there's a job description like this way, how much you ask for? A job description. If you take this job, you have been stoned 3 times, almost die. You'll be beaten up. How much you ask for? 100,000K? 100K? Are you going to take it, the job? No. Why? Very high pay. How about 1 million? Because this job is too dangerous. Right? You almost die. But when Paul accepted the apostleship, right? He served God free. So the momentary affliction actually in our comparison to our concept, this is a lot of sacrifice and suffering. And how come Paul mentioned that was a light affliction? Because compared with the invisible forever blessing and glory, that become a light affliction. And that's only a momentary affliction. Actually, Paul had been serving God a few decades. He suffered for a few decades. But compared with the eternal blessing and eternal rewards, that's only a moment, right? No, only a moment. So, before Paul asked them to transform their life, Paul tried to change their value. Your value should change from the value in the world into the spiritual value. If we change our value, then we will care very much about our spiritual transformation. If we don't care about the spiritual value, then all our pursuit will focus on worldly value. So look, most of people in the world, they want to receive high education because of what? Nowadays, because of high income. They want to have a high income because of what? High living standard. Bigger house in better district, drive a fancy car, right? Better vacation. Now, so this is a common value, worldly value, which will pass away. If we become a Christian, we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we subscribe the same value with the people in the world, then for what Jesus Christ died for us? Right? You don't have to believe in Jesus. Because you subscribe the value in the world. Now, the reason we receive salvation, because through the salvation, the more precious value will be available for us to pursue. The kingdom of God is open for us to pursue. So that is the reason, after we believe in Jesus Christ, the first we have to transform our value from the world into spiritual realm. When our values start to change, you are going to see a person's pursuit. The focus will be different. Previously, you care very much about material things. But after your value changed, then what? I live here, it's okay. I live there, it's okay, right? As long as what God wants to give to me, I can be thankful in every circumstance, right? You don't have to set a certain goal, only reach to this certain goal, then I'm content. We can be content in any circumstance because our value is not in the world. Okay, so this is yesterday we talked about set on the things above, all right, and seek the things above, which means to change our value from this world to the spiritual realm. Then after we start to transform our value, then start from verse 5 onwards, we can see then what is the next we should do. From verse 5 to verse 11, you can see after we receive salvation, our goal is to become a new creature, according to verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. For even what was made glorious
Oh, no, it's glorious. Ah, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
Now, what is a new man means? Our goal of our spiritual transformation is to be like a new man. Then what does new man means in this verse? Next. It doesn't work? Okay. That. What does new man means? Let's come back to verse 10. Huh? And you read, and the answer is in verse 10. What is the new man means? Next one. Jeremy. You know, you don't know. You don't know. Huh? Verse 10. Next one. What is new man means? Embry. Only one sentence is good enough. One word. Oh, it don't have to be a sentence so long, huh? Huh? Oh, Christ-like, yes. The new man is a person who has image of God. In another words, he looks like Jesus Christ. Oh. So, after we receive the baptism, what is your goal of your pursuit? The receive of baptism, the goal of pursuit is to be a new man. And what does that mean? That means look like Jesus Christ. And that should be our primary goal of pursuit. Do you know some people have that kind of idol worshipping mentality to worship Jesus? Do you know what is idol worshipping mentality? They worship idol only two things. The first is making money. The second is what? The idol will protect the person, safety and peace, right? That's the only two reasons they worship idol. So a certain period of time, it's very difficult to be idol. If they worship the idol and idol doesn't make the person rich, doesn't protect the person, then they throw idol to the trash can. Oh. And somebody passing away, oh, how come the idol is there? And picking up and wash clean and worship again. All right. So nowadays, to be idol is difficult. Oh. So people use this kind of mentality to worship Jesus. Why do I worship Jesus? First, because Jesus can protect me in peace. The second, because Jesus can give me richness. Right. So that is the reason so-called theology of prosperity is so popular among the Christians. Oh. What is the theology of prosperity? You know, in America, a few very prominent preachers, they preach theology of prosperity. If you have no car to drive, you're only riding the bicycle, right? You keep on coming, riding the bicycle. Next year, God will give you a car. If you drive a used car, every part making noise, only the horn doesn't work. Right? And you come into the church, next year, you are going to have a new car. Do you like to come to church? Good. This is a good news. Everybody wants to listen. If you drive American car, oh, next year, you are going to drive a import Japanese car. Do you like it? Oh, of course you like it. This year, you go to vacation, you leave one-star hotel. You keep on coming, worship Jesus. Next year, you will stay three-star hotel. It's good, right? Wow, this kind of gospel, everybody like to listen. Oh, so they worship Jesus, mainly use the mentality of idol worshiping. That's not the true meaning of becoming a Jesus Christ. Oh, what is the true meaning of becoming Jesus Christ? Oh, Jesus Christ wants to transform you to become a new person. And this new person has the image of God, is Christ-like. Oh, and that is the goal of our spiritual pursuit. But don't forget, After you pursue this goal, it doesn't mean your life will be like a beggar. It doesn't mean your life will be like Jesus Christ. I don't have a place to put the pillow. Oh, you are not so poor like Jesus Christ, right? So poor that you have no place to put the pillow. No. At least you are living an ordinary life, right? You look into the full-time minister. Anybody so poor or have no place to put a pillow, right? Everybody life is if not above average, at least average. So don't worry, after you pursue the spiritual progress, your life will become very poor, very pitiful. If you don't sympathize with you, oh, you are so spiritual, so pitiful. No, you will not happen that way. Oh, so, now, why we have to become a person who has an image of God? That is a fundamental question, right? I'm satisfied with what I am. Oh, let Jesus become Jesus. I don't want to become Jesus. I only become I am who I am. Why should I pursue to become Jesus Christ? This is a fundamental question. Do you know why? Why I have to change to have the image of Jesus Christ? Next one. Computer must have virus. Anthony, you just answer, right? No? No, okay. Do you know my question? I just want to be who I am. Why should I be like Jesus? Okay. That's your answer, huh? Next one. Kevin. Hold your life? Okay. Very simple, huh? Very simple. You know, this generation, emphasize very much on packaging, right? Especially Japan. If you buy $1 gift, you ask them to give you a package, they can pack it up. Oh, and looks so beautiful, like $30 gift. A birthday gift, oh, so expensive. Oh, you're so happy, go back home and start to unwrap it. Oh, only $1 cup. $29 looks, the value increased $29 because of package. Right? That's what Japanese know the best. Oh, right. So people in the world want people to look them and envy them, feel they are very valuable. So they start to rack up themselves. How to rack up themselves? How? When you see the business card, right? Business card. Oh, Harvard University study. Not graduate, only study. Oh, and this printed in business card. And then, what? All the different titles. And then in the back side, previously, a chairperson of this and that. Oh, why they have to use so many titles? Because this is to wrap up themselves. So present people, this is a golden what title, golden business card. And then what? When you go out, you drive a fancy car. Or one day, brother picked me up from the airport. I look at brother, oh, how come you drive a fancy car? And the brother said, Preacher Liang, all the car, I take a loan from the bank. I purchased this car. This car actually belongs to bank. Then why you to borrow money from the bank? You say, do you know I do this kind of business? If I don't drive this car, nobody is going to buy anything from me. Oh, I understand. Oh, when you drive fancy car, people look at the car you drive. Oh, okay, I want to trust you, and you can be my agent for purchasing a house. If you drive a older car, used car, they feel you are not valuable enough. You cannot have business deal, right? So I'm not saying the member cannot drive fancy car. For the sake of safety, or you like beauty, that's fine, right? Yeah, and then you usually the more fancy, more expensive car can last longer, or Sometimes you drive the older car, you cannot pass other car, right? The expensive car, very fast, you can speed up passing other car. Oh, only for this reason, it seems fine, right? But if you drive fancy car in order that people can feel you are more valuable, then you are going to different direction. Oh, okay. So in order to survive in the world, we need to have some kind of what? Adorn ourselves, right? Rack up yourself, which can be acceptable by the world. But from the bottom of our heart, we have to understand this does not represent my personal value. Oh. When a person you take away the title, take away the house, take away the education background, take away the family background, right? Then how do you judge the value of a person? How? And that is exactly how God judges us. Take everything outside away, and that is the time God judges your value. How? God is going to see how much you look like Jesus Christ, and that will be your value. Oh, how much you look like Jesus Christ. So when God created the first human being, God created the first human being with his own image. So the first human being becomes the perfect person. The first human being is most honorable person. The person with dignity. Why? Because he looks like God. Right? After we commit sin, we become sinner. Yes, we may have some kind of dignity before man, but in front of God, we are sinner. Do you know? So some of the truth seekers, when they come to the church, they don't want to kneel down. Why? I'm somebody. Why should I kneel down? But to me, kneel down is good. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Oh, for a sinner, there's no use to preserve your face, right? Before God, no face at all. You are a sinner. And kneel down and pray to show our humility. Oh. So, the goal of our spiritual cultivation is to have image of God, like a new person. Oh. Now, if we want to be like a new person, then what should we do? There were next step we are thinking about. I want to have an eternal value, have the image of God, look like Jesus. And then what should I do? Now, look into chapter 3. Chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 5, you can see the same word twice. Oh, chapter 3. Oh, Colossians chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 10. There are one word appear two times. The words of die or death. Can you find it? And what does these two words means? Appear two times means death or die. Where can you find it? Verse 3 and verse 5, right? Now, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. You die, right? This is the first death, right? And verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members. Now, these two deaths represent different meaning. The first death is talk about water baptism. The first death, you don't put any effort. The first death is purely coming from the grace of God. But the second death, you have to put effort into it. Oh, so these two deaths have different meaning there. The first death is the grace of God. Why? Previously, we are sinner. So yesterday we mentioned, through the water baptism, we are dead to the sin. From now on, we and sin are cut off. No relationship. means death. This purely the grace of God. Because of this death, so we have new life. You get out of the water, you become a new person. You no more. You don't carry the sin no more, right? But after we receive the water baptism, sin has been taken away. But one thing still remains there. What is? Sinful nature. Sinful nature still there. Sin has been forgiven, but the sinful nature still there. So in order to become a new person, so we need to have second death, which is in verse 5. Verse 5 says, put to death. Put to death means you put an effort to make it die. And put to death what? Your member. Your member means what? Your body. Which are on earth. Put to death your member, actually referring to out of your physical body, there are a lot of sinful nature there. So you have to rely on God to put its death. Okay. Now, what are the members or sinful nature? Verse 5. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Why we have to put death? Verse 6. Because these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the son of disobedience. Which means, even we receive the water baptism, our sin being forgiven. But if we don't put to death the sinful nature, what is going to happen? According to verse 6. If we don't put into death of the sinful nature, the wrath of God is coming. The son of disobedience. What is the son of disobedience? If we don't want to obey God, let the sinful nature control us, rule over us, the wrath of God is coming. After we receive the baptism, we continue living under the lust. Mentioned in verse 5, right? Continue living under fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. Then the end is death. The wrath of God is coming. So that is the reason we have to put to death, make effort into it. But how to put to death this sinful nature, this is a very, very tough issue, right? Sinful nature is very tough issue to put to death. So that is the reason yesterday we mentioned chapter 2, verse 23. These things indeed have the appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of body, but are no value against indulgence of the flesh. Which means, a lot of religion, they set up a lot of rule and regulation and practices. Actually, that rule and regulation and practices no effect to put to death of your sinful nature. For example, can you give example? You know the Buddhists, right? They have to shave the hair. Shave the hair, okay? And put on the dark color clothes, right? And then what? One more. Their hand holding what? They call what? Beads, right? Yeah. Why they have to hold the beads? Because they keep on citing a particular term, a Buddhist term. And they focus their mind on that particular term and use the beads to count 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So they focus the mind on that beads and that particular term, chanting that particular term, so their mind can keep away from the evil thought. But if one day somebody steal your beads, or one day you sleep under the dream, still the evil thought come in, right? Or just like a Christianity, some of the religion forbid to get married. To get married doesn't mean you will become holy, you know, because that's not the teaching of the Bible. The teaching of the Bible says if you can be single, that is a gift. Only when you have gift, you can be single. If you have no gift, marriage is a blessing. Oh, but if a person have no gift to be single, you just force the person, you must be holy, so you should not get married. Then you are going to see Catholic Church and other sexual harassment. Who did it? The fathers did it. How come? Because they have done some decision against the teaching of the Bible, which is not according to the Bible. So a lot of rule and regulation, if not come from the truth, is no effect to put to death of your sinful nature. So in the church, if there is any rule and regulation, this rule and regulation must help us to observe the teaching of the Bible. It's not to substitute the teaching of the Bible. Now, if I want to put to death all this kind of sinful nature, what should I do? How can I put to death of the sinful nature? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. From verse 12 to 13. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. What does that mean? We are not debtors. We do not own to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you own money to other people, right, you are obligated to return it. You are obligated to follow the instruction of whom you own the money. So we are not a debtor, not to the flesh, and live according to the flesh. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we know the most powerful weapon to put to death of the sinful nature is what? We just read. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. The most powerful way to put to death of the sinful nature is what? Next one. Ruth. Yes, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. Do you know how did God create the universe? According to Genesis, how did God create the universe? First, the Spirit of God moving in the water. The second, God start to speak. When God start to speak, everything come out. Right? But in New Testament, right now, God tried to create a new world. In where? The new world in your heart. Now, then how God create new world in your heart? The first, Holy Spirit move in your heart. Right? Mighty Spirit move in your heart. The second, the words of God come into your heart. When the Spirit move in your heart, the words of God come into your heart, and then the new character, the new virtue will come out. And the new person can be created inside. Also, we put to death by the Holy Spirit. Put to death our evil desire. So how can we put to death the evil desire? You just keep on praying and praying and praying until you are filled by the Holy Spirit, filled by the power of God. You know, sometimes most of young people have this kind of experience, right? Sometimes that lustful thought just come up to your mind. When you have lustful thought, what are you going to do? If you don't want to think it, you still think it. The thinking inside, you cannot take it out, right? No way, you cannot take it out. No. It's just not like a computer. You want to delete this file. You just point the pointer and you delete it. No. When you have evil thought inside your mind, the more you want to delete it, the more that it bothers you. So are we going to delete the evil thought inside? the only one way. You pray and pray and pray until you are filled by the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, you find out all the evil desires from your brain have been deleted. Your heart is so clean. You know, in the daytime, you look into the Los Angeles downtown area, you are going to find a layer of dark brown color covered there. What's that? Air pollution. But after the heavy rain come, after the heavy rain over, you look into the downtown direction, that dark layer of the air disappear. Why? Because the heavy rain already washes away. So the air becomes so clear. Oh, our heart is covered by a lot of worldly, sinful stuff. Oh, but if you keep on praying until you're filled by the Holy Spirit, the heavy spiritual rain just wash everything away. Then you become very holy, become very clean. Oh. So, when we try to put to death our evil desire, it is not because of our own effort. You make up your mind, you set it, put your effort, and you can do it. No. It is because the power of God who exercises inside our heart, and the power of God suppresses all the evil desire. And cleanse up all the evil desire and burn up all the evil desire so you are able to become clean again. Now, so this is what chapter 3 talk about. The first is put to death of the sinful desire in our flesh. Now, then after we put to death the sinful desire in our flesh, then what is the next step? What is the next step? Verse 10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The image of him who created him means what? The image of God, or the image of Jesus Christ. So you see that human being, we have two problems. The first problem is sinful nature. The second problem is ignorance. If we cannot resolve this problem, two problems, we cannot become a new person. So, in order to become a new person, first, the sinful desire has been put to death by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is only 50%. This is only the first part. Then, after the first part been done, then how can we have the image of God? Then we have to pursue what? Get rid of ignorance. We have to pursue knowledge. What kind of knowledge? The knowledge of knowing God. The knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Can you describe the Jesus you know? Try. Describe the Jesus Christ you know. Next one. Ryan, son? Are you baptized? You don't know Jesus. Next one. Just describe the Jesus you know. Jasmine? Yeah. You cannot comprehend, so you cannot describe anything. Yeah, a little bit. Next one. Jeremy. Perfect. No. Perfect is too general. Let's describe one by one, right? Jesus Christ, the Father is Joseph, the Mother is Mary, and he was born in carpenter's family. He grew up in where? Jesus is the Jesus of Nazareth, right? He grew up in Nazareth. And Jesus was not well educated. And Jesus looked like what? When he was 30 years old, he looked like what? 50 years old. No outer appearance, right? And Jesus had no money. Jesus had no house. And that all what? And Jesus did for 33 years old. And he was crucified, right? This is all so-called the Jesus we know. But if we only understand Jesus in this, what we just described, then our understanding Jesus is very superficial. Right? Jesus is the most profound person in the world because all the mystery of God hidden in Jesus Christ. Oh, right? So Jesus Christ is different from human being. Human being, the more you know the person, the more you find out the person has no virtue at all. Why? Because we are human beings. But Jesus Christ is different. The more you know him, the more you will be attracted by the person, by Jesus Christ. Because he has hidden beauty inside. He has a hidden treasure inside. Oh, so how can we renew ourselves? Every day, we have to increase our knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. And use the knowledge to transform ourselves. Oh. So, in order to become a new person, first we have to understand Jesus Christ in depth. So, how the English translation talking about? Chapter 3, verse 10. Put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him. Who created him, right? Knowledge according to the image of him, according to the image of God. So, we just mentioned, right? Every day we study the word spoken by Jesus, you will know him every day, deeper and deeper. Every day we study the work he has done, you will know him more and more. Every day we study how he revealed himself to the saints in the New Testament, written in the books, then you will know him more and more. And use that knowledge, try to change ourselves. Then you will become a new person. Now, practical example. According to your concept, what is humble? Humility. Next one. Catherine Chin, according to your concept, most worldly concept, what is humility? Humble. Huh? Sorry, my hearing is... Glory yourself. Humble. Humility. Lowering yourself. Okay. Any other? How do you define humility?
Yeah.
Okay. The most common way, humble means what? Somebody praise you. What should you do? You act like, right? You don't deserve that kind of praise, right? How about humility? What about the second point? That's a human being understood by humility, right? But if we want to be the true humility, you have to look into Jesus. The more you understand Jesus, the more you know what is humility means, right? Philippians, the book of Philippians. Chapter 2. Verse 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 5. That this might be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 6. Who, being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself
and become obedient to the point of death, and even the death of the cross.
This is called the humility of Jesus Christ. Two steps. The first step, low down. The second step, submissive. That's called humility.
So if we want to renew ourselves, have the image of Jesus Christ, then you have to understand how Jesus Christ low down from God. He was God. He was very glorious, right? Then he become human being. You know the human being, eh? We are human being, but everybody want to become God. Want other people to respect us like God, worship us like God, right? But Jesus is different. He is God. He low down to become human being in order to save people. When he low down himself become human being, he did not low down to be a king. He was able to do so. But in order to save the ordinary people, he low down in the carpenter's family, the average family. Right? This is called humility. And later on, he low down himself to become a sinner.
Oh.
And he was obedient to God. That's called humility. And then also when you understand Jesus Christ, then we compare with us. Our humility is so far away from Jesus Christ. We still have a lot of effort to do. Right? This is called renewal ourselves with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Another thing is, when you talk about love, what does love mean? When we talk about love, what does love mean? Most of people, love means share something good together. Right? Share something good together. Yes, share something good together is love. But it doesn't represent the depth of love. But if you look into Jesus Christ, then you find out what is love. Love means sacrifice. Sacrifice to which point? Sacrifice until your death. That's called love. So now we know, I want to become a new person. So I want to love my family, love my spouse, love my children. What is a new person means? I love them. I'm willing to sacrifice them, even to die. And this is called new person, have the image of God. Now, one step further, when we love a person, what you care the most? To the parents, what cares the most is education, and then health, right? And then good character, right? But once we understand the love of Jesus Christ, you look, Jesus Christ cares the most. Of course, he cares our physical body. He cares about your everything. But what he cares the most is what? Salvation, the life. So we understand, I want to become a new person, really have the image of God, have love, then I'm not only care about my children's health, I'm not only care about my children's study, I care the most is my children's salvation, spirituality. And this is called new person. Now, after we believe in Jesus, we still love our children, but we don't care about their spirituality. Then our new person is not perfect. Why? Because we are not renew ourselves according to our knowledge of Jesus' love. So this is only one of the examples. So we have long way to go, do you know? Our spiritual pursuit is to become the person who has image of Jesus Christ. How can we do it? Two parts. The first part, to rely on the Holy Spirit to put to death of our sinful nature. The second step is to pursue the spiritual knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ and use this knowledge to renew ourselves every day. And we were able to become a new person day by day. And this new person will in exchange of what? Everlasting glory, everlasting value. And that is the purpose God chose us. So after we study the truth thoroughly, you find out to become a Christian is not like worshiping the idol.
all is so much different. Our value is in spiritual world, not in the mountain world. Okay, 2 minutes. Any question? One minute. Any question? Time passed very fast. Tomorrow morning we have last section. 30 seconds. Okay, no questions. Pray inside. Amen.